Search the scriptures yourself, go through it, look at it, and listen to the Holy Spirit speak to you. And it's just these things I'm teaching help us understand there is a huge things that God has prepared for those who love Him. You know, loving Him is not just an emotion. You love Him, He keep my commandments. So this kind of message calls us to internally stand up and live out our life fully and powerfully. And as you see, when it comes to Jesus considering us, He takes into account the opportunity we've had. So if you're saved later in life, He takes that into account. He takes into account the teaching, all kinds of things. We won't get onto that. I want to share in this session a message called the resurrection body, your resurrection body. Okay, so I just wanted to put this in. I studied and had a look at it. I thought, oh, this is awesome. Oh, it's like something out of these things that are on coming out on the Marvel series and all these superheroes. You got all of these movies lately with superheroes, and everyone wants to be a superhero. What's your superpower? You know. But it's sort of setting the stage. Everyone wound up with superpowers. Suddenly they get bitten by a spider, got superpowers. But actually all of that is like Hollywood just painting a picture that there will be people in the earth with the most unusual powers. Where on earth did that idea come from? And why now? Exactly. The real deal is the resurrection.
That's right.
It's phenomenal. It'll be phenomenal. Anyway, so let's have a look at and talk about the resurrection body. So the first thing to realize is Jesus is the pattern. So always in everything we do, make Jesus your pattern. He is the pattern son, meaning He is what you model your life on. So leaders and Christians and people are human and fall short, because we're all in a growing process, and so there's some great things in our lives, and also some things that are not so good or plain ugly. But Jesus is the pattern, so we're to fix our eyes upon Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. So Jesus is the pattern. And so one of the big patterns about Jesus, He is the first to be risen from the dead. He's the first one. No one in history ever rose from now. Lots of people were raised from dead back into the same body they were living in, and then they died again. This is not what this is referring to. This is referring to the body being resurrected and changed. See? So the disciples came into the tomb and they looked for Him, and they were astonished at what they saw, because the body had vanished. All the wrapping clothes were there. Remember, He was naked on the cross. They took Him down off the cross. They wrapped Him in the wrapping clothes, put a headband around Him. And when they came in there, it's like these wrappings are all just deflated and down. He's vanished out of the middle of it. Then He turns up. So we'll have a look at that. So the resurrection is not the same as the ascension. It's ascension is where He goes up into heaven. The resurrection is a literal event. And when Jesus talked about the resurrection, He meant it's literally something that'll happen, that'll change you, not some spiritual thing. So it's not a spiritual resurrection where our spirit is born again. He's talking about the resurrection of the body. So the core question is, well, what will the resurrection body be like? So what will my body be like? It's probably more, what will mine be like? You know, I know what it's like now, what will it be like? So in 1 Corinthians 15:35, and the New King James Version says it like this: someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And what kind of body do they come forth in? That's a good question. So we know there is two resurrections. And the question is, well, what kind of body will I have? What will it be like? In the Passion Translation, he puts it this way: I can almost hear someone saying, how can the dead come back to life? And what kind of body will they have when they're resurrected? What will it be like? So let's go through, and then we're going to look at some things about your Jesus resurrection body, and we'll see that His plan is to make our body like His body. Oh. Okay, so there it is. For the first thing to realize, it is the same body that he lived in and walked in on the earth. It's the same body he lived in and walked on the earth. So John 20 and verse 27, Jesus has appeared to the disciples. He said, looking into Thomas's eyes, John 20, 27, he said, put your finger in the wound in my hands and put your hand into my wounded side and see for yourself, Thomas. Don't give in to any doubts any longer. Just believe. So now Jesus is standing there in front of them in his resurrected body. And he says, now look, here we are. The wound is still there. Touch them. Now, I think that Jesus is trying to emphasize, not the wounds, he's trying to emphasize that the body that he's standing in is the same one that he lived his life out in, not a different one. Didn't throw it away. They actually recreated that body, that physical body. And so it's the same physical body, but now it's a body that has been resurrected. And I think, it won't be this for everyone, but I think that Jesus retained the evidence of the wounds as an evidence of the reality that it's still him. In other words, there's evidence still left of his wounds, so it's a reminder forever of his suffering for us and ensures he has the place of honor all the time. So the body you'll be raised in is the same one you're living in. So those who are thinking, I'll get a different, I want a replacement one. I want a bionic body, you know. And if you have a look, the weird thing is that you were living in an hour when they're talking, you transhumanism. This is blending machines and bodies like a cyborg to try and improve God's design. And then try and tap into the mind so that they can then put it all into a computer and everyone, they can work out what they're thinking. I mean, it's a horrendous development that's taking place. But the real thing that people really should hear about is that God will raise your body from the dead and enhance its power enormously. All they're trying to do is enhance its ability. So you've got all these interesting movies that come out, and they're about enhancing the DNA, you know, genetically modified body that can, you know, fight stronger and all these kinds. It's like the media are subtly putting out the message of enhanced bodies, cyborgs, humans in a cyborg metallic metal body that got all this power and whatever, or, you know, superhumans that have got these unusual gifts and capacities. You know, release fire. It's interesting, some of the stories. I mean, you can either look at it as kiddie stuff or look that often Hollywood, which has got perverted, tapped into the supernatural and the things that were to come, you know? Anyway, okay, so the first, it's the same body. So the body you got's the one you're going to have, which could be bad news if you look around, you know? I wanted a taller one. Oh, well, okay. But it will go on. There's a lot more it has to say. So the body that Jesus had was both physical and a spiritual body. It's both a physical body and a spiritual body. In other words, it can take on a physical form, like you see around you now, and it could take on a spiritual form. In other words, the body was unusual in that it could be in the physical world as a physical being and then change and be a spirit body and in the spirit world. That's really something. Whoa, I want to do that. So let's read in Luke 24, 36 through to 40. While they were still discussing all of this, Jesus suddenly manifested. Luke 24, 36 through to 40. He manifested. Now, that's really something. I so want to be able to do that. Doof! Here I am. No more plane fears, nothing like that. Doof! Here I am. And it equally well vanished, gone. Oh, now that is actually scary. If you don't understand that is really scary. So, while they were discussing this, Jesus suddenly manifested right in front of their eyes, and they were startled and terrified. Ah! Absolutely terrified. They just buried him 3 days ago. Bye, here I am. They were convinced they were seeing a ghost. It's a ghost. So you need to kind of dwell on these things and allow yourself to be there in it and see what it was like. They were terrified, absolutely terrified. Well, have you just been to the funeral, buried someone, received the insurance money? Doof, they're there. You can't be here. The insurance man's in the other room. Come back tomorrow when I've cashed the check. It's funny when you think about all the implications of all of this, isn't it? And of course, if it's too long, everyone's taken all your stuff. They don't want to see you at all. My mind sort of goes out there thinking about these things. Be resurrected quickly. Okay, and he says, they were terrified, they were startled and terrified. The disciples were convinced they were seeing a ghost. So even though he's told them he's going to be raised from the dead, they still think they're seeing a ghost. In other words, when you talk resurrection from the dead, it's like la 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 until the guy appears and suddenly, oh my God, oh! They were terrified. In other words, often because it's supernatural, it's hard for us to comprehend. That's all. And standing there among them, he said, "Be at peace. I'm the living God. Do not be afraid." Why would you be so frightened? Don't let fear and doubt enter your hearts, for I am. Come and gaze upon my pierced hands and feet and see for yourself, it's me and I'm alive. Touch me. Know my wounds are real. See, I have a body of flesh and bone. And he showed them his pierced hands and feet and let them touch his wounds. Now, this is the Passion Translation. I like it because it's really quite, it makes it very much more real. He showed them his pierced hands and feet and let them touch his wounds. So notice this, only the disciples are in the room. And then suddenly, Jesus just appears. He materializes. Oh, that's a good word, isn't it? Out of a science fiction. Materialized. Oh, here I am. It's almost like, Star Trek, you know? They go into that room, you know? Doof, and they're beamed out somewhere. And doof, they suddenly appear. I love it. Because that's what it's going to be like for me. I just so want that to happen. Okay. And so Jesus' body was a spiritual body and therefore not limited by the physical realm or the laws of the physical realm. Not limited. He manifested in a physical form and they were terrified. That word means to tremble with alarm. They were actually in shock. She says, okay, guys, it's me, see? So he understood and anticipated they would need to see evidence it's not a ghost. So he showed them the wounds. The wounds proved he's not a ghost and it is his body that was raised in another form. And he invited him to touch him so that they could see this is real. Now, they could touch him. In other words, now, you can't touch a ghost, but this is a human body. So when they touched him, there's fingers and there's skin, there's warmth, there's bones. And he told them, do it, just touch, get a feel of my hands and whatever. So he's trying to provide them evidence that he has a body. Notice here's another thing about his body. The resurrection body is able to eat and drink. Ghosts don't do that, you know. I know you're down on the floor. No body. But he could eat and drink. Mark 14:25, I tell you a truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day comes when we drink it together in the kingdom realm of my Father. Mark 14:25. So Jesus spoke in the coming kingdom, in the resurrected body, there would be eating and drinking and feasting. It's not. Don't spiritualize it. It's sitting down to a table of nice food and wine. I mean, don't be, it's like people, we get religious concepts of the kingdom and what it'll be like, but there's actually a physical world which we seem to be think is very real. There's also such a spiritual realm which is more real, more vibrant, greater in its impact in every aspect. This is just the shadow of the other. Now, if you looked at someone and saw their shadow, there's the shadow. Oh, okay. I can see the outline, a bit of a shape there. I recognize that, who that is. But now you see the real person. Oh, wow, this is the real thing. So the Spirit is the real. And so you notice there, he spoke then of eating together in the kingdom. In other words, to enter the kingdom, he would be resurrected. And then in that kingdom, he'd be eating and drinking. So how about that? Not just going to sit around playing a harp, he'd be eating and drinking. Bring it on. I presume you can't eat too much. What does your mind start to think? Because your resurrection body can handle it. I mean, your mind starts to think when you think about those things. Now, here's another one, Luke 24, verse 41 and 42. The disciples were, same again in the Passion Translation. The disciples were ecstatic and yet dumbfounded, unable to fully comprehend it. And knowing that they were still wondering if he's real, Jesus said, here, let me show you something. Give me something to eat. So he's told them to touch his hands and touch his body and whatever, but they're dumbfounded. He said, look, guys, give me something to eat. And so it says they handed him a piece of boiled fish and some honeycomb, and they watched as he ate it. It's gone. It's not a ghost. He's eaten it. It went inside him. That raises questions too. So he asked for food, physical food, from the physical realm to demonstrate his body was real, a resurrected body. It's also a physical body. So what he's trying to do is to say, it's physical. You can touch me. You can feel the warmth. You can feel the bones. And you can give me food. I can eat it. You give me some drink. I can drink it. So it's a physical body able fully to live in a physical world. And they watched him eat it. And so his body was able to eat and also to process and enjoy physical food. Presumably, the resurrected body is able to totally process everything that's eaten. Yeah, you can think that one through. So a spirit being, a being that's only spirit, cannot eat food and can't be touched. So the new body that he's in has the capacity to be fully present as a physical body and also change form. And now it's a spiritual body. So it's no longer here. It's in another realm. That's extraordinary. I want that ability. See? And so it brings us to the next thing about Jesus. He's able to eat and drink. He's able to change his form. Whoa. Whoa. Well, I like in the movies to watch all this stuff. I'm thinking, oh, yes, Jesus, bring it on. He could change his form. Now, you know, he probably you wouldn't have seen the movie The Hulk. But he could change his form. See? Change his form. Quite noticeably, when he got angry, he changed his form. So in other words, he's one form, then he's another form, quite different, with different abilities. So Jesus could change his form. Here, look at this, Mark 16:12. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. That word appear means to become visible. So they're walking, and then he suddenly becomes visible. Doof! I've appeared. Oh, I just love it. So dramatic. It's so wonderful. To become visible, to render apparent, or to reveal self. So he revealed himself. And it says he revealed himself or became visible or manifested. It said in another form. That word is heteros, a different form. So the word heteros refers to like male and female, different. Still human beings, but different forms. And that's the word used here, another form. Their word form is morphe, external appearance. So in other words, he could appear with different appearance. So they've been with him for 3 years and they didn't recognize him. How come they didn't recognize him? Well, the form he took on looked a bit different. So the physical body could change, transform shape. How about that? Wow. His physical body was able to change form, but no one could see how he could do that. They just changed form. He just turned up in that form. I mean, when Mary saw him, she thought it was the gardener. Now, she's been with him for so long. How could she possibly confuse Jesus for the gardener? It was simple. He appeared in the form of a gardener. He just looked like a gardener. Now you understand then, so the physical body, while it still has the characteristics of a physical body, can be touched, can be seen, can you feel the bones, you feel the warmth, you could actually see the body. It can change its form, so you don't recognize quite who it is you're talking to. So in John 20, verse 14 and 15, Mary turned round to leave, and there was Jesus standing in front of her, but she didn't realize it's him. And he said, "Dear woman," this is a Passion translation, "why are you crying, or who are you looking for?" And she answered him, thinking he's only the gardener. "Sir, if you've taken his body somewhere, tell me and I will go." So notice there, she didn't. How could she not recognize him? Well, either her eyes are spiritually blinded or he's taken on a different form. She thought he was the gardener. So he must have looked like a gardener. Come into the garden. Okay, so here's another thing. The next thing is about the body, the resurrection body. So your body will be physical. It'll be able to be seen and touched and felt. The warmth, you'll be able to move around just like normal people move around, be able to be here or there or whatever, but it'll also be a spiritual body as well. So Jesus is able to access both the physical and the spiritual realm. Now this is the uniqueness of it. And I'll show you an Old Testament scripture about this later on. It's actually prophesied there. Okay, so here it is. Now, Luke 24:36. He could suddenly appear in a room. So here it is. While they were still discussing this, Jesus suddenly manifested right in front of their eyes, and they were startled and terrified. So there it was. He suddenly manifested. I love that word, manifest, materialized. That is, anyway. John 20, verse 19. That evening, the disciples gathered together because they're afraid of reprisals from the Jewish leaders. They locked the doors to the place where they met, and Jesus suddenly appeared among them at a locked door. Okay, guys, we're afraid. Got to lock everyone out, lock the door, bolt the door. There's 12 of us here. Duh, where did he come from? How did you get in here? Was there a secret entrance? No, he just appeared. Isn't that awesome? In verse 26, it said, 8 days later, Thomas and all the others were in the house together, and even though the doors were locked, Jesus suddenly stood before them. This is just wonderful. He was able to be in the physical world, but he's not limited by the laws of the physical world. And he could just also vanish out of their sight. Oh, that's something. Vanish. You can understand how the overcomers, there's no one going to be able to hurt them. In your resurrected body, who can hurt you? You've gone. Over here. Guys, the other side. Gone. Back over there. I mean, no one can hurt you, really. They can't catch you. They grab you, say, "Duck, I've got nothing." He's gone. So Jesus could vanish out of sight. There it was in Luke 24:31. All at once, their eyes were open and they realized, oh, it's Jesus. Then suddenly, in a flash, Jesus vanished in front of their eyes. Oh, he's gone. Just when they realized that it's him, he's gone. He vanished. Just disappeared. Now, just think for a moment you being able to do that. Oh, the tricks on your grandchildren. As you start to think on these things, you do start to think, imagine. So here's what I want you to see. So you can see how he can suddenly be here and be physical, completely physical, and then he can vanish immediately. So what's happening here is he has a body, a resurrected body, can operate physically and can operate spiritually. So in that body, he can materialize in a form that you can see and touch, and then dematerialize and vanish and go into the spirit realm, and he's in the spiritual body. It's not a different body, it's the same body. The resurrected body is both physical and spiritual. It can access and live and work in both realms, which makes it possible then to be able to transport wherever you want, never having to worry about catching a plane or a bus or a car or anything. Oh, God, here I am. How'd you get here? You understand the capacity that is there. Now, if you were just to think now from the point of view of military intelligence, this is a great asset to have. If we could just catch him. Can you see the implications of it? That in the resurrected body, he can appear anywhere. Anywhere. Anywhere in the world. Every now and then you get stories of people who get translated from one place to another. It's quite amazing, really. Sometimes it's just in the spirit, and sometimes it's actually physically. I had a friend of mine, a prophet from America, and he's had that a number of times. Just literally vanished and turned up somewhere else in another country. And then he's back again in his own bed. So, and the guy that was in the room with him got the fright of his life because suddenly, boom, he lands in the bed like that. But he'd been in another country. It's quite amazing. It's just, well, all awesome things, isn't it? Awesome. I mean, Philip did that, didn't he? But he was only in his physical body, but it just shows you the power of God can move a person one place to another. He baptizes the Ethiopian, and he says, okay, got to go now. Boof, he's gone. Now, that was before he's got his resurrection body. The possibility of translating to another place physically is there. He turns up in another place. Elijah must have, although it's not written, he must have done that a few times, because when he died or vanished up to heaven, they all said, send out searching party, because he may have just translated somewhere else and be on a mountain somewhere. And they kept pressing and pressing and pressing. In the end, he got embarrassed about it all. Okay. Well, but they didn't find him, of course. He'd gone up to heaven. But anyway. So he could enter, he could appear and vanish at will. So he could enter the spirit realm or the physical realm, because God has given him authority in both realms. So he could appear in a physical form in the physical realm, he could then vanish and then be in the spirit realm and able to access heaven. He's not limited by the physical world and the limitations. That's what a resurrection body will do. Okay then, and so here's another thing then about your resurrection body. Your resurrection body is unable to become sick. It can't become sick. Well, isn't that a good news, eh? No more dentists. Oh, thank God for that. No more doctors. So Romans 6, verse 9, knowing Christ having been raised from the dead, Romans 6, 9, raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. So therefore his resurrection body can't be sick. Death can't have any influence. It doesn't influence him anymore. He's no longer subject to that. Now, that these are hard things to comprehend, but this is what the Bible tells us, and his resurrection is the evidence of it. And so he can't become sick, he can't become ill, and you can't kill him. See, no longer there's no fear of death because you can't be killed. So people can't threaten you with anything. You imagine what it'd be in a resurrection body. You can be here, be there, be anywhere, sit down, have a meal, vanish. You want to go somewhere, you can go somewhere. And if you're going to discharge something for the Lord, no one can stop you because they can't stop you. Can you see the resurrection body will be necessary to carry out the mandate of advancing the kingdom? Because you've got to be able to do things no one else can do and do things that can't be stopped. And we see glimpses of it through the Bible of people doing things. But now Jesus in his resurrected body is able to be manifest wherever he wants to. So Jesus' resurrected body could radiate the glory of God. So one thing the resurrected body can do is shine forth or glisten. So it can appear just normal, but then it can also radiate light. So in Matthew 17, verse 1 and 2, after 6 days, they took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes become white as light. So in other words, he radiated light. Literally, the glory of God within him blazed forth, causing his face to shine brilliantly like light, and his clothes to look so white There was the dazzling glory of God. I think that this is what Adam and Eve must have walked in the garden, a body that was physical and spiritual that could not die, the same kind of body, a resurrection type body, which is able to operate in the spirit realm and in the heavens and able to operate in the physical realm. Right now, our physical body, because of sin and death, is limited to the physical world. We are severely limited even in our capacity to think. Our brain power is greatly diminished by the fall of man. There's a curse on the earth, so even the earth can't produce properly. So when all of that is lifted and you're in your resurrection body, your capacity to think, understand, and know, it all is great. Everything is enhanced, greatly enhanced, the resurrection body. And so he can appear in a normal form that appears just like a normal person, and he can appear in a glory form that radiates brilliant light. Oh, my. Okay, so that's what it is. Okay, so have we got any time? We've got a little bit of time. I don't wonder whether to do any more. So there are, what will our body be like? Okay, so what will our resurrection be like? I think what we might do is just stop here and then take a break for about 3 or 4 minutes and then come back to that so I start that part fresh. Okay, what will our body be like? And the Bible's going to show us some things there, some specific changes to our body, and certainly what the Bible says is going to happen to you. I just so long for this. Oh, how many are longing already? Oh. So we'll just take a break for a few minutes and we'll come back and just look at the second part.